So, David, the first time Looster saw Arena, did he think I'd hit that? Because we all know you wouldn't.
Oh.
Nice to meet you, damn.
Wow.
Sharpshooter! right to your heart. Oh, no. That's my uncle.
I mean, Cupid didn't miss, but...
he didn't have sharpshooter.
Imagine Cupid with sharpshooter.
Hey, but when
you're going to fall in so much love right now.
Explains my 20s.
Hey, but when I do hit, I totally smash, though.
Oh, no. Yep, no. Yep.
Hey, I got to turn this around somehow.
I don't know. It's hard to miss that, because how tall is Lustra again there, Justin?
Shit.
It's only been 130 some odd episodes.
6.5 feet there, tall?
Yeah, actually, no, he's bang on. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, he listens.
Thought it was 6'5".
I just felt...
No, that's David himself.
All right.
Blonde Adonis, washboard abs.
I just felt so bad about the 6.5 foot tall copper dragonborn thing on episode 2 that I've never forgot. It's ingrained in my brain now.
The only one without a floofy white shirt. Yep.
Full circle. 130 episodes in. You've dealt with your dad. You sent him to his death and then re-killed him. You found your girl. Maybe. We've been promised. We've given like an IOU of your girlfriend.
We're going to send her to her death and re-kill her.
Yeah. Everything's coming up, Lustra.
Oh, man.
I don't know, man. Like, when it comes to Lustra, like, I mean, I think a part of him has almost been distracted by the Hour of Ascension stuff, because he got yanked in from, you know, the Blue Dolphin, and he only saw it once before, and that's seeing, you know, the two most important people to him kind of go in there. So all he's kind of had on his mind is escape, but with these kind of threads tied up, like, his own upbringing and clan duties are going to kind of start taking over almost.
Oh, no.
And it's going to be like, well, hey, now that I know that you're safe, well, I got to deal with this shit. I'm sorry. Like,
not now, dear. I have to go to a business meeting.
You know, and it kind of showed even the last episode.
I've been waiting for you, Lustra.
Go wait in the car.
I was aiming for Bleak House, but that works.
We have a carriage now. It's perfect.
No, but seriously, though.
Oh, fuck, that was good.
David will do anything to avoid saying sweet nothings to Justin across the table, won't he?
Maybe. Shush.
You know, oh, I can't wait to see that, though.
Well, you have to remember, Lustra's like a young 20-year-old dragonborn baby man thing. So he's not exactly, you know, the most emotionally intelligent of creatures.
I thought Dragonborn were supposed to mature.
Dragonborns aren't smart in this way.
than humans. You've got like the opposite of an anime antagonist or protagonist. You're 20, but you've got the emotional maturity of like just a teenager.
Oh.
Whereas like a teenager, it's like I'm technically 27 years old and I'm ready to save the world.
And I'm 967 years old in dragon years.
Yeah, there you go. Now let's fuck my teacher.
So want to play some D&D?
Does want to play some D&D?
What does that say about Rena?
It doesn't matter. She's in the car.
She loves knock boots.
Oh, boy. This is going to be an interesting one.
I'm sure we can cobble together a good reason for you two to be together.
Oh, nice.
He makes boots.
God, like
hush.
Lacing together all your shoe jokes.
Ah! I can feel my soul leaving my body.
Just don't turn heel.
This is aglet-ing.
Whoa, nice. I love those little plastic thingies.
Last time you guys negotiated with the Dark Lord of Mordent, Lord Wilfred Godfroy. You guys rolled pretty good. You did some good work. To open things up, you guys gave Godfrey some info about the apparatus that Baron Midas had. Told him that it had awakened powers in Lenara. Basically, Killian played up what the apparatus could do a little bit, and Godfrey bought it. And in exchange, you all got permission to keep the magic items you took from the house on Griffin Hill. You guys also traded Lustra's Mist Talismans. You kept Darkon Mordent and talked him into keeping Van Richten's glasses as well. But you guys gave up the flowers that you know led to Valachan, the glass eye that led to question mark, and the spinal fluid that leads to Dominia.
God damn it. Never see that second floor.
In exchange for those talismans, though, you got a secret about Aslan Rex, that he can't learn new magic, which was a pretty big development. Pretty good secret. And then, of course, the biggest trade of all. You promised Wilfred Godfrey that you would get him the schematics to Aslan Rex's latest apparatus. And in exchange, he promised to let Rena go, as long as she stays in Mordent until he has his schematics.
But she's safe until then, I think, / hope is what we really pushed for.
Yes. Yes.
That is the hope.
Yes.
Hope, I think, is a good word to use.
Domains of Dread, baby.
Godfrey also offered up an apparatus that could help all of you go to the material plane if you wanted to. And Lustra told Godfrey they didn't need it. And, like, all kidding aside, I think it's one of my favorite moments of the campaign so far, honestly. Like, in my DM brain, I was really thinking that an apparatus that can get you guys back to the material plane would be, like, the ultimate carrot on a stick.
Yep.
That there was no way you guys were not going to negotiate for that. But then David was like, I'm Lucifer Venari. I'm the greatest mist traveler in the universe. We don't need your help.
Hell yeah.
Don't need your carrot on a stick.
We got plenty of carrots already. Amelia's waiting for us.
Well, to be fair, the stick and this carrot on a stick is also, you know, Godfrey taking over his body. So I feel like that had a lot to do with it.
It was an epic decision for sure, and really one of my favorite moments so far. And the decision is the reason that you guys now know that Aslan Rex can't learn new magic. Like, that's what you chose. Mm-hmm. So definitely pretty epic. If Lucifer doesn't have inspiration, I think he certainly deserves it. Oh, and then there was something about Daniel Foxgrove's spirit hanging around, but who gives a shit about that guy?
Yeah, shitty bow, shitty life.
Yeah, maybe if his bow worked, I would have saved him.
Well, he went to go fetch Rena.
He did, almost like in a little bit of a twisting of the knife. Godfrey made Daniel Foxgrove's spirit be the one to go have to retrieve Rena.
Yeah, hey, I'm reuniting this couple. Here's a reminder that this one will never be together again.
And that's kind of where we left off. There's a few awkward moments, an awkward silence in the room, maybe, as we await to see what happens. And then sure enough, from the south, coming down that same hallway you folks came down, you hear some footsteps. How's Lucifer feel in the moment?
There's a mixture of relief, but also a lot of anger considering everything that's happened. He's never felt more important and more frustrated at the same time. In the sense that, you know, he has clearly surrounded himself with people who are willing to give life, limb, body and blood, soul, and everything that they are for him without a moment's notice. And he's very thankful for that, but at the same time, he didn't do that for himself, or he didn't offer the same thing. He understands that disconnect, and he's also equally angry at the fact that why the hell are these people that he trusts so much willing to give so much when he wouldn't do it himself? Like, do they not realize how important each and one of them are to themselves? So there's this cognitive dissonance that he's kind of dealing with. And he's just overall, the chief concern is that he's more angry than anything else right now. Like, yes, he's grateful, but, you know, Luster's a young, he's a young baby as far as I'm concerned, and he just doesn't have the emotional intelligence to realize what he's got, and he's just angry about it.
Well, it's a lot, too. Like, he essentially, like, started all this off in a quest to save the girl, and it's evolved into him being, you know, 8 levels higher and in a quest to save the world now, essentially.
Yeah, and there's even that to add to everything that he's going through. Kind of like, he went in for originally very selfish reasons, but now he's seeing what kind of his own purpose is in the greater scheme of things that he feels. And he can't do that alone. He knows that. And just the general ineptitude that he feels, coupled with the importance that he feels, coupled with the people he surrounded himself with, like, none of it makes sense to him. And he's just angry at the lack of understanding. But clearly, there's the history there based on what his father didn't tell him. So he just knows that there's a history there. He knows that he has the ability, he has the skills, he has the pride to go and deal with all of this. But the cost is just infuriating. And just as a result, he's walking out of this conversation more than anything, actually angry.
That's pretty fair. That's pretty fair.
Yeah. I think Tess would definitely like read the anger and frustration as just like nerves. Like, oh shit, your girlfriend's coming down the hallway. So she'd be like, stand up straight. I know it's not the first impression, but I mean, you're going to be seeing her for the first time in the... Oh, no. Yeah. I'll be over here.
Well, yeah. And the thing is like, he can't be angry at the people around him because it's like, they just did something that he would never, ever do for other people. So it's like, he feels indebted now, indelibly so, in a way that he feels he's not capable of repaying. So as a result, he's angry, but there's no way to get it out. So there's just this self-directed anger, which, you know, we'll see how that unfolds.
And just like that, the footsteps coming up the hall come to a stop, and you all turn, and standing there in the middle of those huge open double doors is who you assume is Rena. I'll show you guys some character art. David, what do they see, keeping in mind that Rena is currently wearing the exact same thing she was wearing the last time you saw her in Schult? Although the clothes are a little dirtier, a few more stains.
So Rena was probably wearing something like, you know, 3/4 length, you know, sleeves. You know, something that we always used to do a lot back in Schult was, you know, go for walks. You know, Lustra was always about hunting to find leather for her shoe shop.
Aww.
So she would always wear, you know, kind of like a button-up shirt kind of idea to match the jungle around her. Red hair, green eyes, red hair that was kind of shoulder length. I would imagine the clothes are a lot more covered in, like, you know, almost grease and oil from the times, you know, shoe shining and all of that. But the thing is, and she could never get those stains away because she was always slaving away at the shop. She would probably do a lot of things for the sun because, you know, fair complexion, probably wearing a hat of some sort. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you see in a lot of video games where it's kind of like you have that mechanic kind of look, like, or Full Metal Alchemist, Winry, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that kind of like mechanic, like dirt and filth on them. Same kind of vibe with Rena here. But of course, being in the domains of dread and whatever that means, I'm sure there's probably a lot more tattering, a lot more aged looks and ragged looks amongst the clothes and amongst the dirt and filth that she probably has. But the thing is, I would imagine she still keeps a very, you know, stalwart posture, still keeps very well to herself. And, at least that's my hope. And, yeah, that's kind of all I really got to say at the moment. I don't know, because I haven't seen her in so long.
She does still maintain that posture, and you can tell that all the dirt and crime, you know, she does do her best to keep herself tidy. You know, the stains are heavily stained, like they're rubbed in from trying to wash the clothes. But she sees you, Lustra, your eyes lock. Hers just... she wasn't expecting to walk into this room and see Lustra Venari. So her eyes immediately well up with tears, and she just runs the 5-10 feet that are separating you and almost knocks you over with the hug that she gives you. And feel like the wetness of her tears soaking into your chest, and she kind of looks down, gives a warm smile, looks back up and whispers, "Your boots are a mess."
It feels like I've aged twice my age and has been a lifetime since I've seen you. I need you to look at me. This is going to be scary. I'm going to disappear only for a moment, but I'm scared that something may have happened to you. I'm going to be back in just a couple of seconds. And what I want to do is I want to do my etherealness thing and look at her in the ethereal realm to see if Godfrey has somehow done anything to her, her spirit or anything, just to see if she's existing on that plane as she should. Because, like, Godfrey being, you know, all ghost and spirit, like, I'm wondering if she somehow manipulated her soul or manipulated something in a way that I can't see, and I want to see if she looks the same.
I like it. Let's do it.
So you know, my eyes flash white, and I'm like, I'm just going to be a couple of seconds. And I disappear from her sight just for a moment, and everyone's sight for just for a moment, just for 6 seconds, and take a quick glance around to see what's going on, see if she looks, you know, nothing out of place, and get my on eyes of the surroundings. I'm sure it's probably shoulder to shoulder in here with ghosts, I would imagine. But my main focus is Rena.
Rena has no presence on the ethereal plane. Most of the room is empty, but the entire edge of the room, like, you guys are completely surrounded by a pack of spectral hounds, like ghost dogs, that all immediately, like, look at you and snarl from the ghost plane when you jump into it. The whole room is filled with a pack of dogs ready to pounce.
Well, I'm glad we chose the talk option.
Yeah, yeah.
But Rena is fine.
Also, I do kind of love that it took, like, less than one interaction to do the, like, "I'll be right back."
Well,
good to see you. Wait in the car.
I just got the image of Lustra doing the Goku from Team 4 Star DBZA doing instant transmission. Just
all right, we're good.
Yeah, so I would go and do all of that and come back and be like, "You seem to be okay. He didn't hurt you. There was no conversations. No, like, what happened? Tell me everything that happened."
Godfrey is still in the room as well, just a few feet away.
My eyes are focused on her. Absolutely. The world has completely disappeared to Lustra.
I love that.
Yep.
I love that.
Killian takes note of this pretty quickly. And he'll sort of, you know, grab your shoulder and shake it a little bit and be like, "Right, I know it's exciting, but Godfrey, please."
Lustra shakes his head and snaps out of it. "Right."
Godfrey says, "Ah,
What a lovely reunion. I told you she was unharmed. I'm sure, though, that you want nothing more than to leave here and have some time alone.
Wow.
But do not confuse this arrangement of ours for something it is not. I will be expecting you back, Dragonborn. Until then, I wish all of yous good luck. You're free to go, all of yous.
And unless you interrupt him, Godfroy just starts to fade away in the room.
Killian will sort of wave him down briefly. Before you go, my lord, how might we deliver said documents to you? Do we just bring them back here? Do you have a post box?
Trying to avoid hitting the knocker again?
Maybe.
He says, as long as you get them to me, I don't care how it's done. I'll be here.
You can see Killian's face, you know, sort of, you know, screw up at the moment, thinking of hitting that knocker again. And he'll nod. Thank you, my lord, for your gracious hospitality. Hopefully we will return soon. And you can see Killian sort of, you know, do a very, you know, I'm imagining Geralt from The Witcher in The Witcher 3, where he does that really, like, impromptu bow that's really poorly choreographed. And he just does that as a sign of respect as best he can. That's clearly forced.
So how angry do you think he would be if we just, like, took a trip to the second floor? Just, like...
I mean, you could have just asked him before he went through the wall. He could probably still hear you.
Yeah, you're right. She'll, like, just... Tess will sort of, like... She'll be clenching her teeth real hard and, like, looking in the direction of the wall that he probably, like, phased through. And just, like... Probably for a little bit too long, just, like, stare at that point. And then just do that little, like, shake the errant thought out of your head. Shake the errant thought out of your head.
Well, let's go before he releases the hound.
The what now?
I beg your pardon.
You know what? I've learned to just trust what he says. Let's go.
And as we're leaving, I checked Rena and yes... Sweetie, I was just checking to see if your soul was in its right place. I was just making sure it was in its right place and that you were okay on the ethereal plane and all that jazz. I can do that now, by the way.
You can see Killian sort of like cover his privates. He's like, wait, what?
I wasn't looking at you. I was just making sure that everything was in its right place and everything wasn't screwed up. Coincidentally, lots of spectral hounds kind of on the ethereal plane ready to pounce at us at any given moment. So we should assume that they're ready to attack at any given time. So keep that in mind.
Rena kind of looks confused, honestly. Just kind of putting together now the pieces of what's going on and realizing that she's free to go. But doesn't take the time to, you know, introduce herself to all of you. The doors... that lead to outside, like you guys are downstairs in the basement right now in that huge domed structure, and there's doors that lead right outside, and they kind of conveniently and creakily open up as Godfroy is disappearing.
As though being pushed by dozens of spectral hounds.
Yes, perhaps so. But Rena says, I don't know what's going on, but if you say we're allowed to leave, we should go. And then she, you know, extends her thanks to all of you. I'm sure we can introduce each other on the road.
Yeah, walk and talk. Let's just get out of here right now.
All right. I assume Lustra is like right by her. I'll pick up her other flank and sort of lean in. Yep. He's done nothing but think about you. He's been through a lot. Be patient, but You'll see. And she'll sort of like lose herself and sort of just like, there's like a tiny hint of jealousy in her voice. But yeah, she'll just like stay right next to our new companion, because I don't want like a sudden blood mist thinking she's tasty and having to like go catch her.
So back to Van Richten's apothecary?
I would think so.
Back to Van Richten's apothecary.
Yeah, so I'll make your way back through the muddy bog, through these wet moorlands. At some point, Rena says, you think it's safe to talk now? We far enough?
Probably not. If there's one thing I'm sure you already know, is that it's never safe anywhere in these domains. But we just make the best of what we have. She'll sort of like nod to Lustra and Troubadour.
Killian is gargling what's left in his water skin and spits, and he's just like, "Ugh, I hate talking to stuffy types like that and putting on airs. It's not what I like to do."
There you go, Missy. He'll be pissed at him now.
So far this whole walk, Rena has had her hand, you know, somewhere on Lucera, whether on his forearm or holding his hand or on a shoulder. She's staying incredibly close. But at some point, curiosity gets the best of her, and she says, "He said something about an arrangement. What was he talking about, Lucera?"
So, look, I'm not sure what you know about the domains of dread, which, surprise, is where we are. There's dark lords in each domain. When it comes to Godfroy, he is the dark lord of this domain. That makes him immortal. You kill him, he just comes back. There's things that happen to this domain when he dies, but he will eventually come back. So, killing him is kind of useless for the most part. And when it came to me finding out that you were here, because you were, at least that's what Dad was telling me about bringing you here, and just, which that's a whole other conversation, but in exchange for getting your safety, dark lords are trapped here in the mists in the domains of dread, and he wants out. And in my travels, in our travels, and he gestures to the group, mainly looking at Tess, we've come across different devices or structures, apparatus is what they call them. And there's a chance for a dark lord to get out. And he's very interested in getting out, as any dark lord would be. And he kind of puffs up his chest and like, "And yours truly, and as my father before me, I guess we're very adept at traveling the mists. This is all news to me, but I've become very good at it. My father was exceptional at it. He wants my body to try and get out and travel. I said no, but as a compromise, we've decided that there's an apparatus from a different domain, and we can get him the schematics for those, and he can do whatever he wants with them, but in exchange, we got you."
So now we got to go get some schematics? Where are we going?
We got to go to Darkon, a different domain. We're in Mordant now.
All right, well, let's go.
We're getting you someplace safe.
Thank you, Tess. By the way, this is Tess, Tessantius, Therandril. This is Troubadour, and this is Killian Astorius. Tess, I've been traveling for with a very long time.
It's a pleasure to finally meet you.
Unfortunately, the people I was originally traveling with, Salash and Lenara, are no longer with us. They didn't make the trip. I'm sure I mentioned it in my letter, if you happen to have gotten it. I'm not sure if you did or not. But they're no longer here, as well as Merlin. I've gone through fucking hell to get you, to find you, and we got to keep going. This is not the place. Maybe when we get to the apothecary, I'll tell you more, but on the road here is not the place. So, long story short, we need to find some schematics and bring them back here. Until then, you're not allowed to leave.
But
I have
you
some
finally
other...
find the words to drop the bomb.
But I have other plans.
Ooh.
If the three here agree with me, which there are some words that need to be said there, but this is not the place.
Tess will cock an eyebrow.
We're in the middle of the road. Like, I'd rather just do this in the privacy of an apothecary, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, I understand you have plans. It's just... She's been back for 20, 30 minutes, and you are... You've grown up, Lustra. You're growing
this
up.
This is what I'm fucking here for.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen any of that in sight. So I actually have something to work around. Excuse me. So...
Don't swear there's a lady present.
Look, Starina, I'm sorry for my language. Thank you, Troubadour, for keeping me in line. Let's just keep going.
She says, that is the least of what you have to apologize for, it sounds like. You really think I'm going to stay here any longer? Are you crazy?
There's not... It's your best choice, operationally. I haven't seen your character sheet, so... it's your best... I've seen some shit.
She's a level 20 artificer, Adam.
Never mind. Come on in. Yeah.
Exclusively shoe-related magic, though.
With all due respect, miss, this is pretty darn cozy. I can think of possibly less than my finger's worth of sanctuaries in the Domains of Dread. And if you have a Dark Lord basically... saying you're not going to be hurt, that's probably the safest thing you have for surviving on this side of the material plane.
She says, the Weathermay twin says that he's been defeated plenty of times before. It's been done by people, well, much less skilled than you, Lustra. You want me to stay? You gotta get everybody out of here, Lustra. You can't possibly trust a deal with some Dark Lord.
There's a reason why I'm not trusting his apparatus. I'm not trusting the safety of you, me, and everyone here to a madman.
To a golly gosh darn ghost?
His sanity, humanity, and everything that he is has been lost to time into the mists. Trust me, his time is going to come, and if we have to go and kill him... we absolutely will. It's just, now is not the time, but it's on the list.
Listen, Lustra, as somebody who's dealt quite with a number of crime lords, among others, or at least folks that were on the opposite end of your fury, if you catch my meaning, it can be a little dangerous to be as hot-headed as you are right now. I get it. There's a lot involved, but if there's anything I've learned is that having this kind of frustration can lead to unfinished business that I've often helped finish. So let's get it right the first time. Let's go to the apothecary. We'll discuss this plan of yours. But just because, you know, we're in this situation doesn't mean that we can't at least use the finer aspects of negotiation.
It has taken every fiber of my being not to just kill him on the spot. And words cannot express the gratitude I have for the three of you doing all of that talking with me, for me, on my behalf, on your own behalves, and just getting where we've gotten so far. Killing you barely, you've known us for like a day, and you're sitting here putting your life on the line.
Helping people is kind of my thing. So I can appreciate the pay it forward aspect of honesty and helping, but that's neither here nor there. Let's get back and hear this plan of yours in more detail. Forgive me if we're not exactly spoon-feeding you love, but you don't have to lick love from the blade of a knife either, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean. Extrapolate.
I'm hungry now.
No, listen, just... You're not in your right mind. Yeah, there's a lot going on for you. Let's just take a minute, take a breather, figure things out, figure out what the best way forward is.
Or act like we agree until we're, like, at the, like, Weathermaid Foxgrove bunk beds and there's less possible ghosts hanging around as opposed to probably the 17 ghosts that have gone back, like, half a mile tops.
You're right. And he hooks arms with Rena and be like, how about we just ignore this for the time being and just enjoy the walk, shall we? As he looks at Rena lovingly. And let's enjoy the walk back to the apothecary.
Through this gross swamp.
You all try your best to do just that. And the walk back it's eerily quiet. It's peaceful. Nothing seems to even think about crossing your path. You get to a point, you know, you're back in town, you can see the apothecary, it's a couple hundred feet off in the distance. Rena she can't help herself. She's just desperately trying to understand what is happening. She says, what if schematics don't even exist? Have you got proof of these things being out there? What if the apparatus he built is the size of one of those that was in that dome back there? What are you going to do? Just put it into the bag and bring it back here?
I think technically we only needed schematics, not the device.
Well, what makes you believe he's put that idea to paper? You got proof of that?
One step at a time.
All I'm saying is that I'm walking out of that house alive, Lustra. You've gained me, you've gained a bunch of magic items, looks like, and all you had to give up was a few missed talismans that led to places you don't even want to go no more. You did amazing. You all talked that murderer into doing things I doubt he'd normally agree to. You gambled and won. Now take your winnings and leave.
Are we at the apothecary yet?
Do you have any charges left on the wand of magic detection?
I think we had one more.
One left.
I want to use Divine Sense on her. Or Divine Sense, and she'll be in the aura.
Sure.
Is she a fiend, celestial, or undead right now?
Or hallowed or unhallowed?
Yeah.
This is perfect. I'm glad you decided to do this at this moment. You do it when you guys are, you know, just a couple of dozen feet. How long is the distance on it? Like a 60 feet or something. You do it when you guys are well within 60 feet of the apothecary, just a couple dozen feet away. Rena doesn't register as any of those things, but it does allow me to correct something I said a couple episodes back. You did this around Ferran Zalhonen a few episodes back, and I said that there are nothing registered. It's not true. His Raven Skeever would have registered and registers again when you do it here. And, you know, Troubadour and the rest of the party knows enough that he's like, oh, Skeever's a familiar.
It's a demon! Kill it!
A familiar would register.
Okay.
So it gives me the opportunity to correct that.
Hey,
which is fantastic.
Which means he's also creeping outside again. Fantastic.
It does. Yeah. It brings me to my next point, that he's just creepily standing out there waving at you guys.
Hey.
Sheepish little look on his face. Oh, hello.
I forgot about you. Well, it seems like you got nothing else to do.
Tess will, like, stop smiling. Then just, we should get you to the apothecary, yeah? Just, like, glance back over. God, he's just so pretty. Oh, my God.
Ferran winks at Tess, gives her a little, like, a kissy face.
Oh!
Ferran, no thanks, not my thing. Rena, too tall. Sure, you're pretty. Let's keep going.
I'm just saying, let's turn this apothecary into a brothel. Oh, but the door of the apothecary opens up. You guys arrive. Sure enough, Ferran Zalhonen is just right across the street,
being creepy. And you now know that Skeever the Raven is a familiar. Inside the apothecary, you see the scene you were expecting to see, more or less. Lori and Jennifer Weathermay Foxgrove are both in there looking over paperwork and looking important, while little adorable Amelia Wigglebrick, she's got like the tiniest little hammer and looks like she's making like little planters for the windowsills.
Now you're talking. Do you need some help there, miss? And Trunor's
gonna go over. Everybody's tearing up, baby!
You get the twins.
It's like, oh, she sees Troubadour coming up. She's like, I would love the help. I need to get them deep enough that I can get a carrot to grow in here.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic.
I'm willing to dig deep enough that we can put some bodies in here. He's going to go help her pick carrots.
Oh, she like high fives you as you arrive.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Let's not do side scenes of that. That'll be too much energy.
I usually have to jump when I high five. I like you.
I like you.
Yeah.
Yay.
I ship Troop Amelia.
not Ameliador?
Or Ameliador. Ooh, either works.
That's Amelia Dorable.
Yeah, Amelia Dor all the way. You can see sort of Killian sort of, you know, cock an eyebrow at Ameliador, and then look over to the twins, and you can see him sort of slump his shoulders. Well, we have come back. We have brought, Rena, this is the twins I'm sure you've met.
They have met, yeah. She stayed with them for quite some time.
And she knows them way better than we do.
Yeah, they get very excited and immediately like rush over to her and are like, oh my goodness, are you okay? And, you know, they're looking over her and checking for scars, and they get some tea going. But yeah, what's the scene look like?
Yeah, Killian sort of, you know, sheepishly scratching the back of his head. We did see Daniel at the house on Griffin Hill. And I know he's there at the very least. He unfortunately isn't with us presently. Although it would seem that Lustra has some machinations that he's interested in sharing.
Yes. Firstly, like, there's a lot going through my head right now. But I mean, firstly, like, the gratitude I have for all of you, what you've done so far, what you're willing to do, what you're willing to put on the line. And I'm going to ask you to do that again, is what it comes down to. And that is that, you know, I got this bow, and Godfroy is an abomination that shouldn't exist. He needs to go in whatever that looks like. We need to release Daniel. We need to help out Mordant in whatever that looks like. And whatever the domains of dread is, I want to kill Godfroy. Like that. That's it. Like I don't have any like giant overarching plan of like, that's the main goal here. I want to kill Godfroy. You know, I just want to make sure, and looks over to Rena, that Rena is safe, which she is. And while we need to keep within the confines of our particular deal, my thought process is we go out, we go to the Neverchar Springs. We figure out whatever it is we need to figure out and legitimately try and find some, you know, schematics of some sort. Come back with something for Godfroy. And when we come back with that something, I don't care what, we kill him there and then, get Rena the hell out of here, because at least she's not in his, you know, hands now, and go back to the Bleak House, where is a much better, you know, less bleak, you could say, situation.
Why get in the schematics at all if we're just going to kill him?
We need to present something, and...
Do we?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I'm taking a risk even saying this here and now, because he's probably listening here and now. And I'm hoping he isn't. But, I mean, you are correct. This is how long do we take, I suppose. I'm not... As clearly you could tell back up on the house, I'm not good at lying.
No, yeah, you're really kind of shit at it, yeah.
So for me, the only thing I could do is just do the honest truth, right? So I defer to you. What should we do at that point then? But the point is, I feel like we have one trip out and one trip in for free at no cost to us. And I feel like in that, we should use that for something.
You can see the whole room is kind of tensed up. Even Amelia Wigglebrick looks up from the planters for a moment. She's like, they sound like they're talking about serious stuff.
Real tense.
But it is real tense. There are a lot of, like, this is a big decision to make. Like, you know, above the table, like, if you guys kill Godfrey, what does that look like afterwards? Like, what does the aftermath of that look like? And you can tell that the Weathermay Foxgrove twins, in that look in their eyes, is saying they think is going to be bad afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Well, above the table, I'm thinking it's like we have a domain to ourselves that's quote unquote safe through the Bleak House. Whoever we deem, and this is kind of us playing God to a certain degree, whoever we deem worthy and, you know, worth saving, we can just dump them there. Kind of thing.
I don't know. The other problem that we encounter, though, is like, are the Weathermay Foxgrove twins going to accept us not getting Daniel?
Well, here's the thing. When we go and kill him, we're getting Daniel.
Are we?
Yeah. That's kind of the hope.
He's been defeated before. Yeah. He still has control of all of the, like, he still has dominion over all of the ghosts.
I love the Taka above the table and, you know, keep things out of character and doing quick. But if he's got a domain full of spies, I think this is one time where we don't get to talk above the table. Like, Troubadour would be like, right now, you want to keep running your mouth when you know he can hear you? Let's go to their mom's house and have this conversation. There is, the lords are stuck in their prison, and they have certain ways of doing things. You can't see if there's ghosts here now, because you went to go and see if there's any puppers around your lady's soul. So, if you have any of these plans, he's already going to be ready for it. He's going to know what's going on. If you want to make this choice, you're already giving away everything before even potentially making this without the logistics of actually doing it.
If we go back in, let's do an insight check on the Weathermay Foxgrove twins.
Sure, yeah.
Killian got an 18.
Better than me.
Yeah, that shakes out. Nat 1.
Not even worth me saying.
18 is pretty good, though. And Killian, you can, since you were kind of the one, you know, trying to read the Foxgrove twins, Killian, you can tell that the Weathermay Foxgroves aren't going to leave if their father's spirit is still under the control of Godfrey. Like, you can tell that the worry on their face is rooted in that fear, because they're standing there thinking to themselves, oh shit, it sounds like they might kill Godfrey. That means Godfrey's going to be really pissed off after they leave. And we're kind of honor bound to stay here. So that's the angle they're coming from.
We leave them holding the bag.
Yep.
A whole domain suffers for what you want to pull off. And it's not like killing a tyrant or a warlord in the material plane. This guy will come back and he'll come back angry.
Meanwhile, you know, Rena's argument is that, you know, she's basically nodding along with what Troubadour is saying, but her argument is that's why we should kill him. Like, round everyone up, let's kill him and get everybody the fuck out of here. So you're kind of at this crossroads, because you can tell the Foxgrove twins is going to be very hard to convince the Weathermay Foxgroves to leave here. And they did mean something to Van Richten. He saw them almost as his nieces, really. It's a weird crossroads that you guys are at.
And it's not just them. There's how many other people in Morden that you're dooming to just the wrath of a ghost who had no problem killing his family, let alone destroying everything around him. If you want to think of this, you need to have a plan to make sure everybody's out. And regardless of what happens, you need to be able to live with that consequence.
Right, you talk about trade, you know, it's a little bit different when it's your own flesh and blood, right? End of the day, I think, you know, you deal with the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Regardless, we're bringing him back some paperwork, and we're doing pretty all right. It sucks that Rena has to stay here, but like I said, there's way worse places. There is one or two better ones, but, well, your father's a apparently well-established mistraveler to the point that Godfrey's willing to bend as much as he did, and he unfortunately passed in the mists or got lost on his way here. Imagine what will happen with 100, 200, 300 peasants.
Looster takes a seat, kind of defeated. Look, just, I feel bad that, you know, we didn't get Daniel, we didn't get everything we want, and just, I feel like the way to make it right was to, is this course of action. Just,
is to do what he says, bring him what he wants, and
no,
then
to kill
him?
The bastard!
And, for a day?
Yeah, and
then he still has everything?
And the point is, I obviously don't know the answer. I just feel like that's what's right.
Are you angry right now?
Of course I am.
Hit me.
No, you don't deserve that.
Why not?
If there's anyone I want to hit, it's Troubadour right now.
Fucking come at me, buddy.
No, seriously, Troubadour. Like, offering your own body, soul, and your words are binding to a madman? Like, I get that you don't remember who you are, but that doesn't invalidate the pride and the value that you have as a bloody soul.
I'd rather it be me than you.
And I get that you want to help me, but just understand that you still have to look out for yourself a little bit. And I'm happy and grateful that you're willing to go so far for others, but you still have to look out for yourself. You can't look out for others if you can't look out for yourself, even at least in this small modicum of self-preservation. Like, I get that, you know, once again, everything is forgotten to you, but just really think about that. That does not invalidate what you have, even if you're not aware of it. And I appreciate everything that all of you have done. Killian, you've barely known me, and you're willing to put life and limb on the line. I feel indebted to all of you in more ways than I can think of. And the thing is, I hate being in debt. I'm not going to lie.
It makes you kind of angsty.
Yeah, but the thing is, and I'm exceptionally grateful for everything that we've done. I'm just saying is that down the line, please at least try and live for yourself, at least in the sense of living on for yourself, like in the most minimal of ways. Don't put your binding words to a dark lord who doesn't give a shit about you.
Right, I can see that there's a lot of tension. Personally, I think that the best way forward here is just to do what Godfrey says. Because at the end of the day, I know you want to kill him, but that doesn't do anything aside from assuage your own bloody ego. Let's be real here. We don't have any real way of killing a Dark Lord, and for us to pretend that we do, I think is foolhardy. Be sensible. I know you can do that. You were sensible about the other things here. You were sensible about keeping your mouth shut. You were sensible with Rena. You were sensible with Godfrey. Please. I know. You say that, all these other things. I don't want to be in debt. Oh, yeah. Nobody likes being poor. I get it. I grew up poor. But there's a certain virtue to it as well. And you learn how to work with the people around you as a result. I mean, from what I can tell you, you're in on about these trades, but, you know, you're misevaluating things. So, either way, I think it makes the most sense that we get Godfrey what he wants, we do the deal, and we leave. It doesn't have to be this large, overarching thing of oh, it's good and evil, we ought and we oughtn't. You know, that's if you do that, you're going to be stuck in the mist the rest of your life. You know what I mean? You're going to be trading away everything. There are just some things you can't fix. And that's okay.
Luster just shakes his head and looks over to Arena, doesn't even want to even answer that. And be like, your time here, what, you're not hurt? Like, tell me everything that's happened. Like,
Rena cuts in, and you know, her shoulders drop. She lets out a long sigh. I'm sorry. This has just all been a lot. Taking a bit for it all to sink in. And then she just kind of looks into Lustra's eyes and just says, can we go for a walk? She just wants. She's giving you that, like, can we just go be me and you for a sec?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm going to say that that exchange between yourself and Rena that's coming up takes about an hour. So let's call it a short rest for anyone who wants to benefit from a short rest right now. Feel free.
Yep. My health drain from earlier, I presume that's either greater resto or long rest.
You would be correct.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, in which case, there's no real reason for me to benefit from this particular short rest.
It does give you guys the opportunity to identify a couple of magical items. You guys want the descriptions now, or should we do the Rena Lustra scene first?
Oh, descriptions now, so we can, like, Cliffy on the feelings.
Yes, every time.
Plus, I want to know what my fucking hat does.
That's fair. You guys are now the proud owners of a potion of comprehension. Ooh. When you drink this potion, you gain the effects of the comprehend languages spell for 1 hour.
Okay.
Very convenient in the right circumstances. You guys also now own a clockwork amulet. When you make an attack roll while wearing the amulet, you can forego rolling the d20 to get a 10 on the die.
Oh.
Once used.
Lustra.
Hell yeah.
Once used, property can't be used again until the next dawn. You guys are also the proud owners of a propeller helm. Requires attunement by a small humanoid.
Yeah.
But while worn, this helm allows its wearer to use an action to cast the levitate spell, requiring no components. The helm's propeller spins and whirs loudly until the spell ends.
Yes.
Unfortunately, each time the spell ends, there's a 50% chance that the helm loses its magic and becomes non-magical.
It's always going to be magical to me.
That's fair. So the spider climb boy can now be a levitate boy?
I said if I need to be on a ceiling, but there's no walls or something, it's going to happen.
Oh, man.
That's...
should be a fun one.
That'll be great.
I don't know what to say.
It's going
to
be a fun one. And finally, the die that you guys found is a dodecahedron of doom.
Ooh.
Oh, fun. Roll it immediately.
Which can do a whole bunch of stuff. Basically, it's a D12. It's like an actual D12 that the characters have, not the players. And the characters can roll this D12 and crazy stuff happens. You know, sort of.
Ooh. Is that like the vibe that we get? It's just like, if you roll this, shit gonna hit the fan.
Shit gonna hit the fan.
Not the propeller kind.
There's a whole list. I mean, I think the identify spell would let you know what the possibilities are. It's a giant, well, it's not a giant list, but it's a big old list that I'm not going to, I don't want to read the whole thing.
Let's give that to our person with the Rod of Wonder.
So
it just chaos. Yeah, all of the chaos.
Yeah, who has... I think I still have the Rod of Wonder. Like, did we just hand that to Killian? Or?
I feel like we probably just, like, hand-waved a lot of Slash's stuff going to not Slash anymore.
Yeah, no kidding. So we'll figure that out, you know, between scenes.
Most of Slash's stuff is probably just Killian's, let's be honest.
Yeah, let's be real.
So yeah, feel free to... that one's not a homebrew, so feel free to, like, look it up. Dodecahedron of Doom. Propeller helm, a clockwork amulet, and a potion of comprehension. Those are your new magic items that you got from the house on Griffin Hill. While you guys look all those up, though, the scene will shift to Lustra leading Rena, maybe to just outside and, you know, around the back of the house to the area where Amelia Wigglebrick plans on putting a planter box eventually. And once the two of you are kind of settled and away from everyone else, the tears start to well back up in her eyes. At this point, she's kind of put together that Lamin's not here, and you just see and hear the fear in her voice when she asks where he is. Where is he?
Lustra takes the rosary off of his horn and clasps it. Well, if I'm to believe what happened in a different domain, his ghost spoke to me and he died in the mists. If I'm to believe that, but like, so much has happened. I'm holding out just this sliver of hope that it was an illusion from this sorcerer, this wizard, and that was just making me see the worst things possible. I sincerely hope that he's still alive, but I'm assuming he's not. It's kind of where I'm at. And just, look, I've been cursed. I've literally doubled my age and reverted it. I've had my strength sapped. I've accidentally, I've had my mind altered. Like, I've gone through a lot in the past couple of weeks with curses specifically. And Lustra's shoulders slump. For the time being, I have to believe that my father is dead. And at least his final words, like, you know, he said he was proud of me and that, you know, that I was becoming a better mist traveler than even him. And apparently his reputation has obviously cleared the mists in a lot of ways. And just, I've been through a lot, but what I'm more concerned with was what happened to you. Like, the mists took you. What happened from there? I might be able to glean something from that in regards to what I need to do with here, maybe.
He just shrugs and he just led me through those things and he took me here. Does you remember that day back in Troll? Is when the mist just started to surround your father. Remember that look in his eyes? I think he knew they were coming for him.
So why the hell did you jump in his place?
I thought I could pull him out. And she just, and tears start like rolling down her cheeks. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know what was going on. I see now he was trying to push me away, but I thought he was reaching out to, I tried to grab his hand and pull him out. Look, I'm sorry.
Lustra brings, you know, Rena in for a hug. Look, I'm sorry. Just, I can't explain just how much horror I've gone through in the past couple of weeks. And you have as well. Just, you were doing the best that you could, and I'm sorry I didn't see that. Just, it's a lot knowing, just like the secrets of what my father had hidden from me about the mists, finding out about all, because I didn't know this until I came here, you know, until I dealt with all of these things. And just, I don't know, just knowing that you've been, you know, exposed to all of this and you had the best intention, you don't deserve any of this, nobody does. And just, I'm sorry that I couldn't get here sooner. I want to get out of here as soon as we can, but like, you know, back home with my clan and all that, just unfortunately, like, I feel obligated by that to deal with something called the Hour of Ascension. And that requires taking down a different Dark Lord. And I'm caught between you and dealing with that. And now Luster welling up a bit. I don't know which direction to take. I don't.
She tries to comfort and console you, puts her hand on your leg and says, I'm sorry that I got so emotional and combative on the road here. This is just all a lot.
No, it is for everybody. No, I totally get it. Like, it's fine that you're doing that. Like, I mean,
look, I trust whatever you decide, Lustra, even if that means staying here. Your dad was right, you know. You've got unbelievable potential. If I'm undeserving of anything, it's of being saved by someone like you. But you listen. This time you came here and you barely lost anything, and you gained a lot. If you come here a second time, you'd be a fool to believe he won't take a lot more. If you show back up with schematics or whatever the heck he wants, you know he ain't gonna play nice after he has it. So if we're to stay here and wait for you to come back, you best come back ready to fight.
That, no, you're right. Like, trust me, we're on the same page. I definitely want to, the things that man does not deserve. Just.
For what it's worth, I do think he's probably going to keep his side of the bargain. I mean, he ain't got nothing to lose. He's got nothing but time to spare. Why not try for this shot in the dark?
Between you and me, because he has all the time in the world, I feel like he's not obligated to keep his end of the bargain.
No, but why not try? Why not wait it out? See if you actually do show back up. The worst thing that happens, you don't, and I eventually just die of old age and mourning, I guess.
Luster squeezes, you know, Rena's hand. I hate how good you are at this. So, I have to go back to Darkon, to a different domain. And he kind of leans in. I don't want to leave you here, but I have to leave you here. Because if you cross those mists, part of the deal was, if you cross those mists, you die, and he does everything he can to kill us and everyone in here. So you have to stay here longer. God, I don't want to leave I don't want to leave you here. I really don't. But thank you for being strong about this and just, you know, you've taught me about, you know, cities and all this high society stuff. And I'm sorry about your boots. Yeah, like, I've tried to keep track of them, and, like, I've swapped out laces, you've seen. Lenara's laces are intertwined, and they're kind of the memento, you know, like, she was, like I said, I'm not for sure if you got that letter, but it's like, she was, I consider her kind of like the leader before she passed, and, you know, so it's like, I feel like I kind of have leadership from her through these laces, and, you know.
You're wearing another woman's laces in those boots? Lustra!
So Lash wasn't the leader, he's spinning in his non-existent grave.
Sorry.
And just, it's a lot for any of us to bear. Just know that I am going to do everything in my power to, when I leave, to come back and get you out of here. That is one of the highest priorities I have. I don't want to make the choice between my clan and you. I really don't. I will have to make that choice. I have not made the choice yet. my knee-jerk reaction is I want to get you out of here and do both. And if I can do both, I'm going to.
She gives Lustra this warm kiss on the forehead and says, "You'll never have to choose me, Lustra Venari. You've got me whether you like it or not."
Aww.
"But if you ever tell me to go wait in the car again..." "We'll find out next week what Lustra decides.
How long he's going to sleep
Spectral doghouse."
Right on the couch, buddy.
Oh, I'm in the doghouse now.
Oh, shit.